Hey there, y'all. We'll get to that episode that you pressed play on in just a second, but I wanted to make sure you knew that the club is opening again for new members next Tuesday, April 30th. The club is a virtual community of parents of kids with big, baffling behaviors and vulnerable nervous systems, and you can read all about it over at robingoble.com/the club. If you already get emails from me, you'll get a message on the 30th reminding you that the club is open. Otherwise, set yourself a calendar reminder to go to robingoble.com/the club next Tuesday, the 30th. Alrighty, let's get to that show you're waiting for.
So when your kid's behavior is baffling, and yours is too sometimes, yeah, I know. Let's take a break from all the bamboozle here on the baffling.
Hey, 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 y'all. Welcome to the Baffling Behavior Show, the podcast formerly known as Parenting After Trauma. I'm your host, Robin Goebel, and together we hang out and decode our kids, or maybe our own, most baffling behaviors through the lens of relational neuroscience, which is simply the science of being relationally, socially, and behaviorally human. And we do this because even the most baffling behaviors make sense. When things make sense, we feel more regulated. When we feel more regulated, our owl brain sticks around. And if you don't know what I mean by owl brain, I hope that you stick around and we will dive into all things parenting, baffling behaviors, and owl brains. All right. So if this isn't your first time here with me or your first time here at the Baffling Behavior Show, maybe you've read my book, Raising Kids with Big Baffling Behaviors. Maybe you're a member of the club. Maybe you follow me on social media. If this isn't your first time connecting with me, you've likely heard me say something like, regulated, connected kids who feel safe, do well, or behave well, right? Regulated, connected kids who feel safe and also know what to do. Do well. By the way, same things goes for parents, regulated, connected parents who feel safe, parent the way they want to, parent in a way that's in alignment with their values. Okay, so there's these three key pieces here, regulation, connection, and felt safety. Now, this statement about regulated, connected kids who feel safe, this isn't a recipe, okay? I'm not intending to give you a checklist like, get your kid regulated, get your kid connected, and get your kid feeling safe, and then you'll have a kid who behaves good. That's not it at all. It's not a recipe. It's a statement that's intended to open up some curiosity so that when our kids are struggling or whoever it is that we're with that's struggling, including ourselves, we can kind of go backwards, right? So if regulated, connected kids, humans, who feel safe, are doing well, and we're with somebody who's struggling, we can get curious. Does this person need help with regulation or connection or felt safety? Some combination of the three. Usually it is a combination. They rarely, you know, exist kind of in a silo like that. So it gives us the opportunity to go backwards and get curious, but also it helps us keep in perspective that this behavior isn't about choice. It isn't about character. It isn't about some major, you know, character flaw. It's about regulation or connection or felt safety. So even if we can't do anything about it, even if we can't help the person, even if we can't help ourselves, it invites us to stay out of judgment, remain in a place of curiosity and compassion, which of course, still has boundaries. This isn't a free-for-all. It's not an excuse. In fact, I have in a podcast all about the difference between understanding and excusing. It's not an excuse. It's just a way for us to stay in a place of compassion and curiosity. Okay, so let's look at regulation, connection, felt safety, doing well, behaving well, whatever you want to say. Let's look at this even more closely. Does this mean that kids who are connected are always cooperative, right? If a kid is regulated, connected, and feeling safe, does that mean they're always behaving well? If you have a child who isn't a child that would be described as cooperative overall, or even in a specific moment, because all of us certainly have kids, even if you have a kid who overall would be described as cooperative, and mostly this is a temperament issue, some of us are more cooperative than others. Go ahead and guess which one I am. More cooperative than others or less cooperative than others, right? A lot of this is temperament based, but let's just say you do have a kid who temperamentally errs on the side of more cooperative. They're not always cooperative, right? So in those moments that they're not cooperative, or if you have a child who's not cooperative overall, does that mean they're not connected? Well, it might, but it also might not. And if it does mean that they're not connected, does that mean something is wrong? Well, it might, but also not necessarily, right? I mean, nobody should always be cooperative, right? Someone who's always kind of quote unquote cooperative, or what we would maybe label cooperative, someone who's always cooperative doesn't have a very strong identity or a very strong like sense of self or who they are. And what I mean by that is they probably don't have a very solid sense of like what they like, what they don't like, what their preferences are, what their values are, right? Because if I did have a really strong sense of those things, right? Let's say I know that I love Mexican food, but my partner loves Italian food. If I have a very strong sense of how much I love Mexican food, am I always going to be cooperative with their desire to have Italian food? No, of course not, right? Always being cooperative with what someone else wants is going to mean I don't have a super strong sense of who I am or what I like or what I want, right? And again, some of this is temperament-based. Some of us are kind of more committed, for lack of better words, to like what we want. But constant cooperation would really essentially just mean constantly becoming whoever everyone else wants us to be, right? A person who loves Italian food, for example. Humans, our kids, discover who they are and what they like and what they don't like, what their values are, what they're willing to fight for by being uncooperative, by not being in alignment with everyone else around them, whether that be you as their parents or their peers or their teachers. As much as we want our kids to be like us and to like the things that we like and to have the same values that we have, they're not going to. In fact, for the most part, if we do our job well, they are going to have ways in which they're different, because that means they have the safety and the freedom to feel like they can be different. They can explore themselves and they can spend some time noticing what they like or what they don't like and what their preferences are or not. It's actually pretty risky from a being human perspective to experiment with being our own selves and what we like and what we don't like, because humans also are really driven to belong. We want to be like other people. We want to belong. We want to fit in. We want to be claimed in a group. And usually that means having some shared likes, values, preferences, things like that, right? So how do we balance that, like our need to belong and our need to be kind of claimed by a group, with also being who we are, which is, of course, never going to be the same, right? So in some ways, felt safety is actually exactly what invites being uncooperative. We talked about something kind of similar a few weeks ago when we talked about kind of the line between where safety invites regulation versus where safety allows for dysregulation to be expressed, right? So same here. right? Felt safety can be exactly what invites the privilege to be uncooperative or to be ourselves or to discover ourselves. So instead of trying to make being cooperative or uncooperative a good thing or a bad thing, let's just agree that it's a human thing. That in order to discover who we are and create our own really solid identity, right, that we are going to be uncooperative sometimes. This is just about being human. Another way to look at the word connected in this, like regulated connected kids, regulated connected parents who feel safe, do well. Another way to look at the word connected is to remember that being connected doesn't simply just mean being connected to other people, right? So if we're talking about our kids here, my kid, if I was going to describe him as being connected, it's not just about being connected to me, right? It's about him being connected to himself. And connected to himself, or our kids being connected to themselves, could mean that they're going to be uncooperative, non-compliant with a teacher, because maybe the teacher is saying something or behaving in ways that's going against their values. And this incongruence with their values, for example, like noticing an injustice, for example, that's going to shift their nervous system into protection mode, right? While also they remain connected to themselves. You see how that kind of balances out there? Like for me to notice and care and do something about an injustice, I have to first have the experience that it's incongruent with my sense of values. That's going to flip me into protection mode. But I also, at the same time, am having the experience of being connected to myself. That's how I even know that it's incongruent with my own values. So there's kind of simultaneous this shift into protection mode while still remaining in connection mode, right? Until the injustice, of course, becomes such a threat to safety or autonomy that it may push them down, like way further down the watchdog or the possum pathway, fully into protection mode. And when we get all the way to like attack watchdog or, you know, play dead possum, where we've lost connection to ourselves as well as we've fully gone into complete dysregulation, right? And so then, yes, of course, we would be out of connection with one another and then also out of connection with ourselves as we're, in intense dysregulation. But the motivation, or like the precipice to the dysregulation, is that the right word? Precipice? I don't even know. It was motivated by connection to themselves. Does that make sense? I'm interrupting the show real quick because if you happen to be a new listener, you might find yourself being a little overwhelmed by all this information. That makes total sense. I mean, there's like 150 episodes plus all the free resources that are available over my website. It's just a lot. So many folks have asked me, where do I start? So I created a separate podcast stream called Start Here. What I did is I took the 10 episodes that I want you to listen to first, and then I want you to listen to in this specific order, and I put them into a separate podcast stream so that you don't have to search for them. You can just press play and they'll play one after the other after the other. If you go to robingoble.com/start here, you'll be able to get an invitation to subscribe, and then you'll be able to listen right in the same podcast app you're using right now. robingoble.com/start here. Really, really, really important for us to remember, again, regulated connected kids who feel safe, not a recipe. Connected kids isn't what we're always aiming for. And also, connected kids aren't joyfully compliant. In fact, cooperation and compliance aren't the same thing. Generally speaking, cooperation emerges from safety and connection, whereas compliance emerges from a lack of safety or being in protection mode. This, again, isn't even always bad. Sometimes compliance is just necessary. But when we really, if we pause and think about when is compliance truly just necessary, there's a safety issue involved, right? And so it makes sense that compliance emerges from protection mode. It's a way to stay safe. But I'm going to go back to what my real point was here, which was that connected kids aren't joyfully compliant. We don't want to accidentally kind of conflate the two. Regulated and connected kids who feel safe are going to grumble about doing chores that they don't want to do or having to stop an activity that's fun that they don't want to stop. They don't want to brush their teeth and go to bed. And they might complain or grumble or protest or even kind of dig in their heels for a little bit, right? Yeah, that's not cooperation. I get that. But that's not what we're aiming for. We're not aiming for constant, joyful compliance. In fact, compliance, again, unless there's a safety issue, compliance isn't what we're aiming for, right? We're not aiming for kids who just always do what we want them to do. Now, I understand that might sound like a nice reprieve. And for a lot of you listening, that things are so stressful and there's so much tension and so much conflict in your home that, yeah, a part of you is like, oh no, I'd take compliance. Compliance is fine, right? Compliance would be this really nice reprieve to like the constant tension. And I really, really, really get that. And also, compliance, while it's something we can long for, because it would make everything much easier, it really, truly isn't our goal long term. The goal is to help our kids develop the ability to regulate through frustration so that they can have like a grumbling, disappointed reaction to having to do something they don't want to do or having to stop something they do want to do without threatening to hurt you or themselves, right? In a moment of, ugh, I hate emptying the dishwasher, that child is actually staying connected to themselves. That's authentic. That's regulated. Y'all, I hate emptying the dishwasher. Like since I was a small, small, small child, it's been my most dreaded chore. I don't know why, because it takes like 90 seconds. I do not know why I give so much energy to hating emptying the dishwasher, but I do hate to empty the dishwasher. And if I have to, I can not like emptying the dishwasher and also empty the dishwasher, right? That's me staying connected to myself. That's me being authentic with myself. That's me being regulated. That's me regulating through frustration or through a feeling that I don't like. And that's a super important life skill, right? Regulating through frustration, regulating through something we don't like. Regulating through those things doesn't mean we don't express the frustration. It just means that we express it hopefully without hurting somebody or hurting ourselves or hurting things, right? That same frustration might motivate your child to speak up for something that feels really unfair. And that might even happen in your family. Maybe they always empty the dishwasher and maybe they have a sibling who doesn't have a lot of chores. And maybe their sibling doesn't have a lot of chores because you're consciously lowering the demands for that sibling because that's what that child needs in order for their stress level to match their stress tolerance, right? So maybe you do have two kids in the same home and one does have more chores than the other. And maybe that's for a great reason. But even if that reason is great, that doesn't mean that your child with more chores isn't going to still feel it as an injustice and they're still going to grumble about it. They're allowed. They're allowed to have feelings that keep them connected and authentic to themselves. Now, I know sometimes when we start to spend a lot of energy talking about co-regulating through difficult feelings, it can leave us worried or wondering if we're raising humans who aren't going to ever be able to just deal with problems, right? Like, are our kids always going to need this amount of support or co-regulation? Are they always going to need, like, over-process everything and always feel like they're getting all their feelings seen and known? And I get that fear, especially if you have a child who's needing, you know, a level of co-regulation that isn't kind of in line with maybe their same age peers, right? If you have a child who's, you're really focusing on, you know, co-regulation and starting to like strengthen their stress response system, you might have a child who's needing a lot more co-regulation than other kids their age, you know, to kind of like navigate regular life stressors. And it is easy to kind of fall into this trap of, oh my gosh, am I creating a monster here? Am I, you know, creating a child who is always going to need everybody to stop and pay attention to them when they're upset or hurt and offer all this co-regulation? I get that. And if we're truly co-regulating, which means we have to be in our own owl brain, we have to be in connection mode to truly co-regulate, then the opposite is true. And if we're really truly offering co-regulation, then our kids' regulation circuitry is going to grow and strengthen. Their resilience is going to grow and strengthen. They're going to, we could say some sciencey things here for a second. They're going to, you know, increase their myelination around their ventral vagus, right? Co-regulation leads to regulation in all sorts of kind of ways. It doesn't lead to kids who need constant co-regulation for the rest of their lives, you know, all the way up until adulthood. We do have to pay attention to, are we truly co-regulating them? Are we truly offering co-regulation from a connection standpoint, from our own owl brain, as opposed to maybe trying to get them to stop being so upset, which would really come more from protection mode and either from a watchdog or a possum brain response. If we're not really truly co-regulating, but instead we're just trying to get them to not be upset, then we actually do run the risk of kids who need a lot of co-regulation, who become adults who need a lot of co-regulation, because they're not really getting the opportunity to strengthen their regulatory circuits if we're responding to their dysregulation with our dysregulation. Does that make sense? But if we're truly responding some of the time, right? Attachment research, and this is all related, shows that kids need us to be attuned, present, co-regulating them about a third of the time. Okay. So we don't have to aim for perfection here by any means. And if we're, you know, attuning and offering co-regulation from our own place of regulation some of the time, then our kids are going to develop into older kids, teenagers, or adults who have stronger regulatory circuits. The more co-regulation they receive at home, the wider their window of stress tolerance grows, and the more they'll be able to navigate stress out in the quote-unquote real world. All right, let's summarize and go back to the very beginning here. Are connected kids always cooperative? No, of course not. We have to expand the definition of connected, first of all, right? Connected to us, connected to themselves. And they're not going to always be the same, right? For our kids to become their own humans, they can't be connected to us and connected to themselves at the same time because we're not the same people. So connected kids means also connected to themselves. And it's just, you know, we can't tease all of this out because in order for our kids to be safe enough to prioritize being connected to themselves over being connected to you, it means that they trust your relationship. And that the relationship will be okay as they individuate, that we can be in relationship and be in a safe, connected relationship and not be the same. So it all just ebbs and flows and works together for our kids to feel safe enough that they can prioritize safety to themselves as opposed to safety to us. They have to feel safe enough with us, right? Now, I'm not telling you not to notice any of your kids' cues and clues as possible signs that they aren't feeling connected to you, okay? So if you have a child who seems like they're in protection mode, get curious about their sense of connection to you. And sometimes our kids are in protection mode because they aren't feeling connected to us in that moment, and they're not feeling connected to us overall. And that might actually be something we want to pay attention to or we want to tend to. Sometimes giving energy to intentionally strengthening our connection to our kids, as evidenced by them feeling a little more in protection mode, a little more uncooperative than usual, sometimes it's exactly what we need to do. It's something I think about a lot with my own kid, right? That as if I'm noticing some kind of and not just with my own kid, but with my partner and with my friends, right? Like if I'm noticing a little more like friction in our relationship, or I'm noticing maybe just a little bit more dysregulation in that person, if I'm in my owl brain, one of the things I do ask myself is, how's our connection? Has our connection been a little less reliable or a little less dependable lately? Because that could cause some dysregulation, and that could be underneath, you know, some of this tension or some of this friction. So please don't hear this episode as me saying, you know, never examine if your kids' signs of dysregulation are, you know, maybe related to them feeling that they're not as connected to you as they are really longing to be, right? What I'm telling you is not to expect that prioritizing regulation, connection, and felt safety is going to lead to a child who's always cooperative. Because remember, this way of parenting isn't just another behavior management tool. We're not parenting in this way because we are looking for another tool to change our kids' behavior. I know that that's a nice byproduct. And I know that you are really longing to change your kids' behavior because it is making life so hard or so uncomfortable. I get that. And we're choosing to parent this way or be in relationship in this way, not just because of wanting to change behavior. We're choosing to be in relationship this way because we want our kids to be themselves. We want our kids to feel safe being them. We want our kids to have more ease. We want them to feel more regulated, more connected, and more safe. This way of parenting is prioritizing our kids' humanity, especially our kids who have had their humanity violated in the past, either from abuse or neglect or abandonment or loss, or from a society that hasn't made space and doesn't honor and recognize their uniqueness, and actually does the opposite, right? Like actually pathologizes their very existence. And so we parent in this way to give our kids a different experience, to recognize their humanity, right? Not punish them for their humanity and sort of take away from their humanity. So really what I'm saying here is just like everything, there's the both and. That connection is likely to increase cooperation, but also that connection gives our kids permission to be themselves and therefore to be uncooperative. And sometimes connection means connection to themselves, which will mean being uncooperative in the face of something that kind of violates their core values. So it's complicated. Okay. Again, regulated, connected kids who feel safe is not a recipe It is a way to go backwards and be curious. And when our kids are struggling, to ask ourselves, can I offer regulation? Can I offer connection? Can I offer felt safety? Not because I want to change their behavior, but because I want to support their nervous system shifting into connection mode, knowing that when our kids are in connection mode, they have more opportunity to be their real, true selves. And that's beautiful and wonderful and precious and exactly what we want them to be and feel. All right, y'all. Thank you for tuning in once again to the Baffling Behavior Show. It is always such an honor, such a privilege to sit behind the mic, know that you're going to spend your time listening, connecting with me, connecting with yourself by connecting with me, knowing how many of you are out there in the world really thinking about our kids through the lens of regulation, connection of health safety, and really thinking about ourselves, thinking about being human through the lens of regulation and connection and felt safety. We're doing something really hard. We're doing something really important, and we're doing it together. If you are in need of more support, more resources, you're going to want to go to robingoble.com because it's full of resources. Okay. On my podcast page, you can search the podcast for any topic. On my free resources page, there is just an abundance of resources that you can access or download for free: videos, webinars, ebooks, infographics, all sorts of goodness. So head to robingoble.com, click around, see what can be helpful to you. And of course, if you are in a space where you could use even more connection, more co-regulation, more support, and contact with me, like one-on-one contact with me, you might want to consider joining us over in the club. The club isn't always open for new members, but you can find out if we are at robingoble.com/the club. And if we're not open today, you can put your name on a waiting list and I will let you know when we are open. All right, y'all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being you, for prioritizing your kids. I will see you back here next week. Are you ending this episode with maybe a big sigh of relief? Like, yes, finally, someone gets me and my kids. But also maybe a sense of like, okay, but now what? All right, y'all, I've got lots of possible now whats. If you want to connect with me directly, like pick my brain, have access to me almost every day, not to mention hundreds of other parents from around the world who totally get what it's like to be you, then you're going to want to join us in the club. We have monthly live events, including groups for siblings of dysregulated kids, a huge video library with something like 80 or 90 videos, plus transcripts and certificates of completion. Plus, of course, a very active forum that I'm participating in every single day. We open for new members periodically, so go check robingoble.com/the club. If we aren't open now, you can put yourself on the waiting list and I'll let you know the moment we open for new members. That's robingoble.com/the club. Now, if you're a professional and you want to strengthen your capacity to work with the families of kids with big baffling behaviors and vulnerable nervous systems, plus use all of my materials, including a 12-module course that follows raising kids with big baffling behaviors, plus be included in an online searchable directory so families all over the world could find you, then you're looking for Being With, which is my year-long immersive training program that runs January through December. So you'll want to go to robingoble.com/beingwith, read all about it, and if you're interested, put yourself on that waiting list too. Now, if you just maybe need a little extra connection and co-regulation, but don't feel like you need to join the club, then you can just keep listening to my podcast, or you could go subscribe to my Start Here podcast, and that'll give you 10 episodes in order that will take you through cultivating a great foundation of parenting with regulation, connection, and felt safety. That's at robingoble.com/start here. You have to go there. You can't just find it in your podcast app. Or you could get yourself a copy of Raising Kids with Big Baffling Behaviors, paper book, audio book, ebook. You can get that anywhere books are sold. Or you can just head to my website, download one of my very many free resources. I keep them all really easy to access at robingoble.com/free resources. Webinars, masterclasses, ebooks, infographics, all sorts of stuff. Go check it out. See what of those things could be supportive of you or maybe to the other adults in your life who are helping support you and your child. There are just so many ways that you and I could be more connected, and you can get the amount of co-regulation and support that you need. If it feels like a lot to remember, all you have to do is go to robingoble.com and take your time clicking around, seeing what I got there. I am so, so glad you and I are connected now, and I can't wait to be with you again soon in our next episode of the Baffling Behavior Show. Bye-bye, y'all.